Spectacular Diagnostics.
Hello and welcome back to my off-season interviews. Today I'm delighted to be joined by American champion and the man of the people, Mr. Quinn Simmons of Little Trek. Quinn, welcome on.
Thanks for having me.
Now, 2025 was pretty epic season. You started the season with no World Tour wins, you ended with two. But looking back at 2024, you actually ended that pretty strongly. You were ninth at Worlds. I think you said you got too close to the sun as you tried to chase Pogacar up that little hill. That sort of result, does that help you kind of get a bit of momentum heading into training for the off season and then the start of 2025?
Yeah, of course. I mean, after missing most of the season in 24, and then, like you say, coming back and finishing, you know, the weekend before second in Luxembourg on the final stage, and then coming top 10 at the Worlds, I think it was definitely, you know, it was the first marker to myself that, okay, I'm back at my normal level after taking such a long break. And then, yeah, of course, that Worlds result really gave me the confidence going into the winter that, okay, yeah, I can do this again.
Talk us through that moment when he goes and you're just like, oh, come on, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we know 99% of the time it's not going to work, but I don't like that, you know, a lot of people have kind of given up on trying. I think we're there. You're there to win the race. You're not there to race for second. So one day, maybe it works. I mean, we saw it work when Skell beat him in Amstel. So it's not, I don't think we should be lining up racing for second.
And that day, Worlds, it wasn't kind of nailed on. He was going to win either. That group you were in got pretty close at one point.
Yeah, we came close. And I mean, in the end, you know, I was still there to fight for the podium. And I think, you know, the hardest in that situation is to get a group of, you know, eight big champions to ride together to maybe chase it back. It gets a bit of that weird chasing dynamic. But, you know, we were still in the race for a while there. And then, you know, you always have to try. I don't want to not try.
And we'll come back to that later on in terms of 2025 as well. So earlier on in the season, you kick off, I think, down in France, and then you head to Strada, which is, you know, one of the races that's always kind of been talked about for you. You were DNF this year. I don't actually remember what happened. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, starting. I always start my season with those French races. And for me there, I was the best I'd ever been in those two races and went into Strada pretty full of confidence. And then, yeah, just stuck in a huge pileup and a stupid crash going into one of the sectors. And, you know, by the time you wait 2 minutes for a bike, your day's done. But yeah, for sure that one was a bummer because I was on a good day and, you know, I had good form. But yeah, it's a race I like. It's a race I'll target, but it is a race where you need a lot of luck.
People have talked about it being now too hard for guys who are not real kind of climbers because of the extra distance and the extra climbing. What do you think?
It's not too hard because they made the course harder. It's too hard because we go too fast now. The problem isn't the extra 40K. It's actually a super nice 40K that climbs only 2-3 minutes. The problem is these guys go up Santa Maria, what I have to do like 600 watts to follow. So I don't think the problem isn't that the race is longer. The problem is that there's, you know, these guys, especially Poggy, they can just go so fast on like a 6 minute effort that, you know, someone of my size, it's really, really questionable to even be there.
But it is a beautiful race and one I'm sure you'd love to win one day.
Yeah, of course. And I think, again, with the extra length and the extra difficulty, I like it even more. I think it's, I mean, in my head, it will annoy some people, but in my head, it's one of the monuments. And, you know, it'd be, if I could pick three races to win in my career, it's for sure one of the three.
And then you go to Catalonia and you get your first World Tour win and what is the weirdest stage I think I've ever seen in my life, where you end up racing for like 25K or something. Now, you want that to be your first World Tour moment is obviously such a huge moment. Did it take away from that feeling because it was such a shortened stage?
Yeah, it was a weird day. I was actually one of the riders voting that we don't race that day. So, and then even I like 10K before they decided to have us start, I was sitting in the back, like last wheel of the Peloton, talking to one of my teammates, like, this is so stupid. Why are we here? We're riding around at like 30K an hour. It's about to get dark. Like, just this is dumb. We like, what are we doing? And then they're like, okay, you're starting in 5 minutes. And like, oh, whatever. So I was still in the back of the cars, taking my clothes off when they started us. And then I kind of just had this mindset of like, well, our director came on the radio and he said, hey, guys, I know it's a weird day, but in 25K, you could win a stage of Catalonia. And that's still a stage of Catalonia. And that kind of snapped me on. I was like, okay, let's go.
And it was a late attack, if I remember correctly. Was it inside the last K before
Yeah.
that?
Somewhere around 1K. I don't, they didn't even have finish banners up yet, so
You attacked at some point
yeah.
and won the race.
Some point, yeah. It was probably like a minute and a half effort.
And then Tour de Suisse, which for me was an insane race for you. You hit four breakaways throughout the race, you win a stage where it was just crazy, full gas chasing from the peloton. You managed to hold off what looked like a group of sprint, the one a sprint finish turned out to be almost a GC finish behind. You just looked so strong that day. When you are riding in that stage, at what point do you realize I'm on a good one?
Oh, I mean, I knew that week I was good already. I mean, 2 weeks before I just won the nationals, and then I'd done another, 2 weeks at altitude after. So I knew I was in good shape already from the first stage. It kind of turned out to be a GC day, and I found myself going over some of the climbs with the GC riders, which typically, if I can do that, then on my train, I'm going quite well. And in terms of the stage I won when I knew I had it was probably not even until 3K to go because. What is it like 25K to go? We had 14 seconds on the Peloton when I decided to go alone. I was like, well, this is just pushing now to see what I can do. But as the time kept going out, and you could hear in the radio how hard it was behind. And when you realize that they already are chasing full and the time's still going out with like 10K to go, you start to believe. And you even hear the tone of the voice of the director change. It goes from like, supportive to like, oh wait, we can actually do this. So yeah, for sure.
And are you the type of guy who do you want regular updates, regular time gaps? What's the story with you?
Yeah, I like, even just having a little distraction. When you're up there alone, it's kind of like weird. There's no Peloton noise, you just have one moto, like especially if there's not a big crowd on the road, you're like a little bit like, oh, I'm just out here suffering. So I like to hear from behind, yeah.
And obviously, it was a big moment because 2 years earlier, Gino had died. And I don't want to kind of go into that too much, but obviously, that must have had a kind of double meaning for you. Not only proud of yourself for winning the stage, but to go back there 2 years after what had happened and win obviously would have meant a lot to yourself.
Yeah, the day before was actually the 2 year anniversary, and like his mom was at the start and everything. So that was hard for me, and I really wanted to win the day before, and I just missed there. So the day after was kind of a matter of like, yeah, I'm just gonna force this to happen.
And then next up's Tour de France, your third tour in total. You go with a kind of split purpose, I suppose. Well, I think there was multiple purposes. The team are riding for Johnny Milan. You had Skelmoser there as well, and then you've got some freedom in terms of breakaways. The first bit, riding for Milan and getting involved in some of the sprint work or chasing down breaks. How's that? He's such an amazing rider, an amazing finisher. It must be good to know that you're going to work all day and he's going to take a win.
It's this is I raced with him last year, but like him specifically is the first time. You ride with a top level sprinter that if everything's done, he's probably going to win, which is it makes it really fun for us. Even I mean, we kind of botched it the first stage of the tour, but pulling the first day and like being quite sure that if we managed to have it be a sprint that he'd be taking yellow, it's a really cool feeling, especially at the tour. A lot of races, maybe polling is whatever, but when you're there, it just feels different. There's people the whole way. That's just you feel the hype the whole time and. Especially when you have a top sprinter and you're fighting for stages and green, it's pretty cool.
And it must be great for the team bus and the morale, getting an early win, and the team must just be so buoyed by it.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't win that early, did we? What was it, like stage eight or something? So, yeah, for sure the first day was a bit of a bummer, and
Missed the split,
but
didn't
after that, yeah. But then after that, we rallied, and that group was. It was fun to ride with, and in the end, I mean, two stages in the green, it's a pretty great tour.
it? And yourself, stage six, you jump in the break, and another super hard day, break full of amazing cyclists, and you just happen to come up against Ben Healy when he's on a day.
Yeah.
Could you sense that? Yeah. I suppose most people thought he was the man to beat that day, but when you're in the break with him, did you get a sense he was on a good one?
I think most people, and myself included, were more focused on the me and Vanderpool battle. I think he was watching me, I was watching him, and we didn't even really think too much about Healy, to be honest.
Then he surprised you with that kind of
Yeah.
longish range attack when it seemed to just
Yeah,
lull him. And then once he got that initial gap.
it didn't even really lull them. He just picked a really good time when both Vanderpool and me, we were the only ones that could probably chase him back from that group, and we were a bit blocked on the side again, looking at each other. And he just picked that perfect moment, and no one was able to react. And yeah, once you have the gap in the tour, there's no chasing it back.
And then you go on to finish second, which, amazing achievement. Does it give you more motivation to get so close, or is it just soul destroying? Sorry, you dropped out there.
Yeah. All I heard was second, and then you
I
froze.
said, so let me think of what that question was. So you finished second that day, getting so close, was that kind of morale boosting, or does it, how much does it hurt?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it hurts. You want to win a tour stage, but in the end, if you just get beat by legs and not having the right tactics, then you can't really be too upset about it. It's like fair enough, but yeah, to come second, it's nice because you're second in tour stage, but in the end, it's you didn't win. So I look at more as I didn't win the stage more than I got second at the
Stage 11, you're back at it with the big
stage.
boys in the breakaway. This time, Van Aert and Van der Poel. That was the day was Abrahamsen went on to win, and it was
Yeah.
again another super intense, super hard day. I think you got out of group. Did you get out of group two and were you trying to get across? And then the final climb starts, and he just manages to go again.
Yep.
I suppose just it looks so hard on the TV. How hard is that type of stage?
Yeah, basically I forget how many was in the front, three or four, whatever, went straight from the car, and then we had like a huge battle behind to go in 2 hours or whatever, full racing, and then at some point basically the four strongest guys on the day we kind of just rode away from everyone with Vanderpool, Wout, and Axel was there also, and then we have this like four person group. Just you're stuck. There's the break that's up in the road that we kind of forgot even existed. You're trying to stay away from the peloton, and the four of us just cranking as hard as you can. For sure, it was one of the hardest days of the tour. And then yeah, second to last climb, I kind of realized that if we didn't make it up to the front, then it wasn't going to happen. So I tried to go across and didn't quite make it. I think I heard 8 seconds at one point. And then, yeah, that was that. Vanderpool came by me on the last climb like I wasn't moving, and even he didn't make it up. So,
You've actually got a really good record of hitting Tour de France breaks. 2 years back, you were in multiple breakaways. Again, this year, you're in multiple breakaways. Some riders find it so hard to even just make the break.
Yeah.
What's different about you? What's your strategy when you go into these stages?
I think that's what helps me. That's why I actually feel like I'm a better rider in the tour than I am in other races because it is so hard. And once it becomes a game of that fatigue resistance and just going and going and going, I can keep doing it. I don't have like a super special 5 minute power, 3 minute, whatever, but I can do it basically no matter how tired I am. And in these tour breaks, you're going after 2 hours of, say, 400 watts normalized. So there's a lot of guys that who are better than me when they're fresh, but by then they're on their knees and you just have that little extra to go when everyone's done.
And then you're back at it, stage 15 to Carcassonne, the day Tim Wellens wins. Again, watching on TV, it looked really frustrating because Wellens was sat on almost all day. It looked like nobody was really calling him out for it. What was the story in the break?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard because you want to sit up and be like, okay, yeah, if you don't, I don't ride. But then, if everyone does this, there's no break. And I think a lot of the times, there's always going to be the one guy doing it, and you have to ignore it sometimes. And maybe some days you're that guy. But yeah, that stage was so hard, and we were going so fast, and the peloton stayed so close for so long that there wasn't really much thinking until the last, hour and a half. It's kind of you just riding as hard as you can. And then
Again, super strong break as well with like Campenaerts and Velens and guys like that.
And then when from that group, Stora attacks on the last real climb. I mean, following him, I did my best 10 minute of the year, I think, and then we come over the top with the group of four of us there with him, myself, Victor, and Wellens. And from that point, I thought it was actually a super good opportunity for me because I figured the four of us would just go to a sprint and I would back my sprint out of that group. But yeah, Wellens made a nice sneak attack and we never saw him again. And then our group kind of was so frustrated because Victor wouldn't pole. Me and Stora were pretty tired, and then eventually the whole group came back to us, so didn't even get a small result out of it. But you're there again, so
What was
yeah.
the final stage like? How did you find it? With the crowds looked absolutely insane on that Montmartre climb.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice the crowds, but I personally like the old stage better. I think it's I see again it's in for next year, but I mean, for us, the whole 3 weeks is so hard and so stressful, and there's so much risk, and it's so dangerous to add this super technical, cobbled, pretty dangerous city circuit on the last day when all of us kind of just want to wrap it up and enjoy the day and have a nice sprint. I think it's a bit annoying.
And hopefully next year, not the same weather as well.
Yeah, for sure. The rain definitely did not help. Rain being that dark that time of day, and then yeah, those city cobbles are pretty slippery. So
The Montreal was your next sort of big result. Third was considering the climbing, how hard it is, how hard UE make the race. For me, that's the most surprising result I think I've seen you achieve yet. You obviously didn't win the race, but to go third and be better than almost everybody else when there's like what, like 4,000, 5,000 meters of climbing. Did you think you could achieve that type of result on that type of circuit?
No, it's I'd never even finished the race before. I'm normally out of that thing by like 4 or 5 laps to go, but the worlds were coming, so I was really motivated just to get through it because I wanted the last hard training for the worlds. And I mean, even up until like 4 laps to go, me and Scale were debating like who would help who. I'm like, nah, it's good for you. Just leave me. I'm gonna get dropped. Just wait. I'm gonna get dropped. And then I ended up being way better than I expected. So yeah, that was a nice surprise, especially like you say, without much climbing and with the pace they rode. I mean, it was one of the biggest power files I've done in my career. So we definitely weren't going slow.
And was it a moment of, I'm away with McNulty here, this is good, this is good. He's not coming
No,
across, he's not here.
they came across pretty quick, but yeah, of course, you still have a little delusion in thinking that when the attack goes, you can follow. But yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, thinking ahead to 2026 Worlds, which is on the same circuit, must give you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, the worlds, I mean, it's a bit of a run-in, so it's a longer race, which is nice, and then a few less laps, which I think make it, right on the limit for someone of my size. But I think it is possible to be up there. And yeah, for sure, I like racing on that circuit. I like I like that it's the North American worlds. Make them have to travel for once instead of me. That'll be nice.
Was
Yeah,
super.
it'll
It
be
looks like being a great race. Like that circuit, I love the circuit. It's
no.
so good, and I think the length of the climb is good. You know, it increases the
Yeah.
chances for other types of riders, I suppose, to win.
Yeah, I think it'll be super nice. And I mean, if you look at the six or however many spots we end up having, I think the US will put together a super good team for there. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And then you head to Lombardia, the most insane long breakaway I think I've seen for a very, very long time. You go with the break, you then drop everybody, go solo, take on the Gandia climb by yourself. Pogacar comes across. I think the whole of the world watching was willing you to follow his wheel. And you just, obviously, you couldn't follow. Right.
Yeah.
Might be a silly question. Did you expect to be so strong when you decided to go for the break?
It's hard. Like, so I did two of the smaller Italian races that week, and like I felt okay in them, but I was targeting the worlds, and then I ended up being really bad in the worlds, so I honestly was a little bit not super happy with the end of the year, but kind of went in with the mindset of okay, it's one last effort, just empty everything, and you're on a flight home tomorrow. And for me, knowing that I'm flying home the next day is a pretty big motivator to have a good day. But yeah, it was definitely surprising. I knew from the break that I'd probably be the strongest rider from the break. But I mean, I was joking 80K to go with Ghana that since our gap was so close, I was like, ah, it's nice. We can just go straight on the last climb. We don't even have to go over it because we're already going to be caught. But yeah, it didn't work out that way. And it's the kind of effort that I know I can do. Like I've done similar things in training and other races, and you just don't really see it because yeah, I mean, I've never been in the front on climbs that length just because of a simple watts per kilo issue, but
I mean, you
yeah, for
won't,
sure is surprising.
you would never know, but
Yeah,
same legs without going in the breakaway. Do you think you could have kind of gone second place?
no chance.
You think you still get dropped on Gandia?
I see these comments, people run their mouth about my tactics that day, but the only way for me to have any result was from the break. There's the way they go up that climb, there's zero chance for someone with my weight to be in the front or anywhere near the front.
And so close
I
to
just
home.
physically can't do it. Like, I mean, it's a 20-minute effort for me. I'd probably have to ride like 500 watts. I can't do that. It's just math, like when Pog, when he came by me, I didn't, it wasn't that I was done or exploded or anything. I got on the wheel and like I was sitting there watching the numbers I was doing. I'm like, this is like my 10-minute fresh power. I just can't do this.
He gave you a
Never
little.
exploded. I just, yeah.
He gave you a look when he came up to you, and I was
Yeah.
like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got on the wheel and I'm sitting in the wheel riding like 500. I'm just like, this is impossible.
It's the best climbers in the world that are, the guys who are able to stay with them some of the way on the climb. Storer, who was in sensational form that day as well.
No. No
Some
chance I could be on the podium with them.
Race though, some effort. If only you had a slightly bigger gap at the foot of the climb, could have been a different
Yeah, it
story.
would have
Now,
been. Yeah.
it seems to me that the type of rider you are seems to be constantly evolving. It seems to be now that you are able to take on these kind of harder days, harder stages, longer races. We always love to kind of say riders are this type of rider. You seem to be more like a, you can do many different things. You can win many different
Yeah.
styles of races. Do you have a kind of label for yourself in terms of the type of rider you are? Or is that not just not a thing?
I think kind of could the label just be a bit of do everything. I think it's I really enjoy the fact that a team can take me to the tour and I can help set up a sprint and then the next day be one of the last climbers with our guys or do anything and then go win from a break. I like that every stage there's something I can do. I don't want to super limit myself in that way. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm 74 kilos. I'm never going to be that good in the mountains, but I'm also never going to be a sprinter. So if I can play a role on the days where I don't fit in, and then on these medium days, I have a real chance for victory in a lot of races now. So, it's
And
nice. I never have a boring day.
you're definitely like looking like becoming one of the best breakaway riders in stage races. But I think you're now going to get a bit of a mark on your back. Is that going to make it harder?
I think it's already been there for quite some time now. It's I don't think it changes too much, but for sure. But in another way, it's you can't use that as an excuse. We also all have a mark on Vanderpool, and he still goes and wins all the time. So
Fair
can't really,
play.
yeah.
Now, next year is a contract year, so contract with Trek runs out 2026. Does that come into your thoughts at all heading into this season?
No, I think I know I'm happy in the team, and the team's happy with me, so yeah, I don't see myself racing another jersey.
Something will work itself out, no doubt.
Yeah, no worries there.
Now, if you had to target, you said there Strada would be one of your three. I assume a Tour de France stage win would be number one on the kind of goal list for next season.
Yeah, the total career like dream list would be the world's Strada on the tour stage. I don't think the world's or Strada is super reasonable given the current riders next year, but I do think a tour stage is possible. So yeah, it'll be a really similar season to last year, hopefully, with I gotta stay healthy and everything, but normally I would target Strada and Amstel to start the year, and then have a big star next to the tour for the summer, and finish things off with trying to take something out of the world.
How much do you study the route of the Tour de France? Like, is it a
Not at
quick
all.
look and then, or is it just, no, it's going to be that stage, that stage, that stage?
I honestly won't even look at the book really until we get there.
Love it. Love the approach. Right, Quinn, thank you very much for giving up your time on Thanksgiving.
Cool.
Hopefully, you can nail one or two or three of those big targets you've got for next season and beyond.
Perfect. Thank you.
Say accumulate pace, fresh razor blade for the gate. We move from weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might lead your mind strain. The times change, flight delay, light haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves saw, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to Paul Kane. But brought a broad brain with it all. Game, you slow change, you do like a solid grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always.
Yeah, oh, yeah, hey, not daddy. Oh, yeah, I feel like. Fossilized in amber, wise commander. Fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I bite the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, so we go to some blowing hazy circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their body, drama with disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the pillow. Without watching his body fall, pull the ass of the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone, skull and bone, herringbone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo, chop the rock to 16 bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at. You know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district, shit, my nigga. Word. Woo!